Today, we're going to be talking with Michael Endres, pianist from Christchurch. This is Mary Gow, organiser of the Mulled Wine Concerts. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Hello, Mary.
So we're really excited, of course, as always, that on July the 26th, you're going to be coming to Pakakariki to play a lovely programme for us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix of three different styles, of course. We have a Mozart sonata, very quirky and funny piece in a way. And then comes the more sort of serious world of late Schubert, but in the form of his four Opromptus, which are one of his most popular works, maybe even. And then after the break comes a big piece, the one-movement sonata by Franz Liszt. One movement doesn't mean it's short. It's still a monstrous piece, half an hour long, but full of contrast, and it's very exciting. And I'm looking forward.
So first, let's talk personal stuff. How's life down in Christchurch?
It's cold and wet and
a little chilly today, I imagine.
But we are not flooding, so it's fine. It's good. Life is good.
Excellent.
Yeah. No complaints whatsoever. No.
So I'm just going to mention the concert details a little bit because I'm going to repeat it later. So July the 26th at 2:30 in Pakakariki Memorial Hall. And the tickets, the easiest way is to get them from me, of course, Mary Gow, G-O-W, at gmail.com. And otherwise you could be going to Genoa, the lovely shop in Waikanae, Finn's Hotel, the big hotel in Pakakariki. I've missed out. Moby Dickens down at Paraparamu Beach. And, of course, Magpie, the lovely shop down in Mana. So those are the details of how to obtain the tickets. But now we're going to really talk to Michael and more detail in the program. So, Michael, a Mozart, remind me of the K number.
281, it's one of his earliest sonata. It's all these early sonatas are incredibly quirky and funny and not necessarily deep and meaningful, but he was just fooling around and in his own way, you know, with unbelievable security already of style, and he's very confident and sort of the piece is great. It's the first from it's one of the early sonatas which has a quite elaborate third movement already, so it's not that short as the other sonatas can be, just 8-10 minutes. This is a bit longer, but it's my favorite from the six early sonatas which he composed when he was 18 years old.
18, that was going to be my question. How old do you think he might have been when he wrote it?
18, which is from Mozart not that young, because he started composing when he was six,
of course.
Kind of already a middle work.
Yes. Lovely. Well, that's a great start to the program. And everybody.
Yeah, these are rarely played, the early Mozart sonatas. You know, everybody always plays the same ones with the Turkish March and the old favorites, which are beautiful pieces. But the early ones are rarely performed, and I always like those. Yeah, not most, but I like them at least as much as the later ones.
And everybody loves Mozart. Everybody.
I would hope so, yeah.
I've never heard a complaint about Mozart from anybody.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's, by the way, also I feel a bit Schubert. I have never met a person who dislikes Schubert.
That's right. And when the orchestra in Wellington plays Mozart, the hall is packed, absolutely packed. So that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Yeah,
it's not done that often, but I would recommend. Yeah, also here in Christchurch, it's not played that much, but
yes,
it's kind of a pity, because I mean, particularly the piano concertos, 27 of them are absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely. And then you moved to Schubert.
Yeah, as I already mentioned, these four Opromptus. So this is probably some of his most famous piano works, because also a lot of students, I think, play some of those Opromptus. Mm. Despite they're famous and well and played a lot, I think they're quite sophisticated, of course, because they're very late. One composed 1827, that's 1 year before his early death, but they have all the hallmarks of the late style. So they're quite drawn out, a bit lengthy, they are difficult to hold together, and the first one is quite dark.
And this is Opus 90 we're talking about.
Opus 90, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. quite a challenge always, I feel, these four open twos, you know, to hold them together and bring them across to that day.
Yes. The first one is in what key?
C minor. That's like a funeral march. It's quite a typical late Schubert, a bit grim. Right. And then it lightens up.
And my most favorite of all time, number two.
Ah, okay. Yours is number two. Mine is number three. So the slow one.
What's number two? What's the key of number two?
The E flat major.
Oh, yes. I've played that together with the G flat, which is number three.
Number three.
That is indeed my all-time favorite.
Yeah, and that's in a way the toughest nut to crack, I think, the G flat. You know, it's really difficult musically because it's very long and slow, and you don't want to drag it. And yeah, it's a tough one.
I love it. I love it not too fast, but I leave that up to you, of course. If you want to play it a little slower. Just kidding, Michael. And then the movement, the key of the last movement?
That would be A flat major, but it's half of it is not an A flat major. It's in all kind of keys, C sharp minor and whatnot. But he goes through all kind of windows here. And that's also quite a remarkable piece with a very dramatic and a little bit darkish middle section. So you're always with a late Schubert, despite it's has sunny moments, there is something behind it which is not purely, you know, sunny skies like in early Mozart.
Yes. And why do you think these pieces have remained so popular? What is it about them?
That's a good question. I mean, that's probably with every great work of art, why has it stayed? I guess people, it speaks to people, you know, they can identify, they hear it, and then they identify somehow with what comes across here.
And they are playable, aren't they? They are playable by, you know, sort of a reasonably competent pianist. You know,
but I mean, there's lots of playable music out there.
Sort of grade A.
Doesn't enjoy that kind of thing, but it's sort of the music speaks to you. I mean, that's all I can say. It's very simple thing. You hear something. I mean, it doesn't have to be classical music, but you hear some piece of music and you get moved by it, or you immediately, you know, you want to hear it again or something like that.
Yes.
And then you can analyze it why that is, but that's academic.
And then we have an interval during which time I will be offering mulled wine.
Yes, you should too.
And that is one of the most favourite parts for the audience, because they get to chat with each other and share stories and, you know, tell each other how much they're enjoying it and so forth. And
then they go with slightly elevated spirit second half.
I do have to make sure that I make enough, because everybody likes to have, you know, their share of the mulled wine.
And make sure you don't, that the alcohol doesn't evaporate too much.
Alcohol is already gone within the first half an hour. They think that it's got alcohol, but of course, you know, it's very much a non-alcoholic mulled wine.
Maybe it's for the better,
Yes. And the second half, tell us about the second half. What are you playing in the second half?
Well, that's also one of those famous grand pieces in the piano literature, the Liszt piano sonata. So he wrote actually two sonatas. It's not the only one. He wrote another one. It's called Dante Sonata. But his main work is, of course, the B minor sonata. And that is a special piece in many ways, because it is... Many people claim it's the only piano sonata in the 19th century that really functions as a sonata, you know, because a sonata has a specific form, and romantic composers have struggled with that, because they, you know, they go out and express their feelings pretty bluntly, and sonata form is not always the ideal form for that. But Liszt managed actually to do that. It's in one movement, but it has actually four sections, so you have actually a four-movement sonata. But it's continuously going.
Right.
And it's the specialty about what's special about it. It's all written out of one motif, so the whole piece hangs on this one motif, and that's really an incredible genius piece. And he used to, I mean, Liszt was, of course, he doesn't hold back. So, of course, it's very difficult, but very virtuosic. But it's very interesting that the original version had a very flashy, loud, bangy ending. And then I got the facsimile. He crossed it all out, and wrote a really very quiet and reflective ending to that monstrous piece, which is a bit unusual for Liszt. But that is even more attractive because you feel it's quite deep and meaningful. Also, the piece it's based on the Faust idea. You know, this is an old story from Europe. Goethe, of course, elevated it into German literature. But the Faust myth is much older, and it's basically simplified is basically the struggle between good and evil, between Mephisto, the devil, and then the innocent Gretchen. So that's a very, very strong topic, which people, when they follow the piece, they can hear that. You know, you have these outbursts of devilish kind of unrest, and then you have this kind of serene, innocent contrast. And that's what the piece is ultimately about.
Lovely. What's the length of that piece, Michael?
That depends how fast one is on the way. I mean, between 28, I think that's the fastest. That's Argerich. She's always fast. And then, of course, you can go up to 35.
Right. Well, that's a lovely second half, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it's a good second half and doesn't need any extra programming, yes. Official programming. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we've got a second chance to hear this lovely program, because the day before, on Saturday the 25th of July, Michael's going to be playing in the Anzac Hall in Featherston. And I just allow myself a couple of minutes now to tell about the concert in the Anzac Hall. It's another beautiful piano, and it's a lovely, lovely, lovely hall. It's worth getting there early. That one starts at 4 o'clock, but it's worth coming early just to look at the wonderful photos on the wall, which I know that you enjoy, Michael. You enjoy looking at them each time that you're up there.
Yeah, it's like a museum. It's quite amazing.
Yes. So the tickets are to be found at Dickensian Bookshop in Featherston, in Mrs. Blackwell's Bookshop in Greytown, and in the Eyesight in Martinborough. So you've got three places to find the tickets. It's July the 25th, Saturday 25th, and of course you can also buy them online from me, marygow@gmail.com. And I will be sending these details out soon, and of course you'll be able to see all of this on Facebook as well. So that's the two concerts, 25th in Featherston and the 26th in Paikakariki. So now, Michael, what else shall we talk about?
Well, that's actually for you. You should ask me that.
Are you going to be traveling this year out of New Zealand?
Yes, I will. I just booked my ticket to Europe, finally. Oh. I mean, after all this, kerfuffle with the war in Far East, in the Middle East, I kind of was a bit apprehensive about, flying in the middle of it.
Yes. And where will you be?
Just booked my ticket. So I will be in September and October. I mean, for 3.5 weeks, I will be in Germany and mostly Germany, Austria.
Yeah, and where
about? A few concerts, visit friends. So it's a mix. I don't do any more than only going there and playing like crazy.
Yes. And whereabouts in Germany, just in case we've got listeners who might want to catch up with you?
Munich is one. And then I have one in the, it's a mid-sized town in Bavaria, Kaufbeuren is one. And then I have one in where I come from, in Sonthofen in the Allgäu. So that's kind of that. And then a few more up north. So, but I want to keep it really, because I'm only there 3 weeks, so I want to take it easy.
Yes.
Very tempting to go there and work like crazy. And then you come back and you need a holiday.
And where would be the closest one to Brussels? In case I can pop over and see you. I mean, I will be in Brussels for the rest of the year.
It's all in the south of Germany, I'm afraid, the one which was supposed to be in Hanover, that has been postponed to next year. So Hanover would have been reachable from Brussels.
Right,
that's next. Oh, sorry.
Just a 7-hour drive from Brussels. I've done it.
Near the same pieces I play in Pankokeriki.
Oh, true. All right. Okay.
No, I might play something else. But
yeah.
Anyway, so that's my trip for this year. And then, of course, I play a little bit around here and there. But I take it easy with traveling. I have traveled so much in my life. So for me, once a year to Europe is enough. Seriously, that's really
lovely. Lovely.
But you're going along.
Yes, I'm escaping as usual in September. I've had to change my flights, actually, because I decided I did want to go to the ceremony to receive my KSM. I decided I didn't want to wait a whole year to receive the King's Service Medal for services to music over the past 19 years. I'm really, really excited to go to Government House and be presented.
More than deserved, I have to say.
I have to agree with you. That's on September the 14th, and then I fly to Brussels just shortly after that. And as usual, I stay up until Christmas.
So, yeah, you do these long trips, yeah. I don't. I have students here, and I come back, and it's also, I don't want to stay in Europe when it's winter, you know, just coming out of winter here.
Yes. I always keep my fingers crossed that I get the late summer, which can go through until October, but who knows this year. The weather is all a little bit wonky. At the moment, I would love to be there because they're having those fantastic heat waves, but I gather that not everybody likes them.
I would be a bit sort of caution you here with the heat waves. All my friends in Germany, they're not very happy about it. It's not nice. No, right. It really isn't. Yeah. Anything above 35 or 30 actually is not nice, and not at all.
Right. Yes.
And you can't sleep at night. It's only, you know, it doesn't cool down anymore. It's still 25 at night. It's terrible.
Right. All right. Well, lovely. It's nice to talk a bit about Europe while we're here shivering and Waikanae and Christchurch. So let's sort of wind it up. I'll ask you to say a little something at the end. I'll just repeat the details for July the 26th. That's Sunday, July the 26th at 2:30 in Pankokeriki Memorial Hall. The tickets starting from the south this time, Magpie in Mana, Finn's Hotel in Pankokeriki, Moby Dickens Bookshop and Post Office in Paraparaumu Beach, and of course the lovely shop, lovely, colourful shop, Genoa, here in Mahara Place in Waikanae. So this has been a lovely chat, Michael. Any final thoughts for us?
Well, all the concert halls will be heated, so don't be afraid. Just
that's right.
It won't be cold. It won't be cold. I can guarantee that because we do these concerts usually at this time of year. It was always very pleasant. And that's, you know, worth a lot because I've played in cold halls.
Yes.
No fun.
No, that's a very good point that you mentioned that. The Memorial Hall, of course, will be nicely heated. They've renovated all the windows and the heating is a very nice new system that stays on for a long time. So that's great.
I just thought I'd make that point, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you for that. So let's look forward to Michael Endres on Sunday the 26th of July, and we finish with a huge thank you to Coast Access Radio for the chance to have to talk to Michael, and thanks to them. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
This program was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio, supported by Erirangi Te Motu, New Zealand On Air. Stay up to date with the latest episodes, available on accessmedia.nz.